You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast, and everybody knows everything is stars with me anyways, and it has been since, oh, gosh, the 90s, I guess, when I first worked for America Online. But we have another great guest tonight, a very accomplished guest, I must say, author. He has done music, he's produced films, he's written books. I mean, this is a very accomplished person, and we'll get into that in a moment. First, I want to tell everybody, of course, the magazine is up. Well, will be up tomorrow, excuse me. I've been working on it I take about 3 days, 4 days to do it, because you know what happens is if I wait till the last day, then I've got hours of work to do, and I've gotten a little smarter over the years that I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just put it up over a period of time, and then when stuff keeps coming in, I can keep adding it, and I don't feel so pressured, and then there aren't any mistakes. But I do make mistakes, you know. I'm not perfect. But anyways, I'm going to tell you about that, and you can always send articles and poems and excerpts and press releases to stars with a Z, C-A-S-T, like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. And, of course, my other site, stars with a Z, psychics.com. I told you, everything is stars. And that one, we have 3 free minutes for first-time clients, one time only. And then those clients get a special rate when they go into their account. You'll see it in little boxes that you can have one time only. We are going to be sending out a huge mailer to those who are non-members. I'm waiting for my webmaster to come back from his trip, and it's huge. I mean, 15,000, something like that, and that's going to be a nice special. So, you know, keep watch for that. And only if you haven't got a membership and you haven't bought on Stars, then you're going to get this big thing here. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest in. I'm so excited. You should see his website. It's amazing. But I'm going to bring in Keith Anthony Blanchard. Hi, Keith. How are you tonight?
Hello, precious soul. I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. Thank you for having me.
Oh, awesome. Calls me precious soul. Now, remember, hear that. You heard that, everybody out there. Somebody told me today, she's from Germany, and she paints and stuff, and she said, you are a soul keeper. Soul keeper. Oh, and you just mentioned, you just said precious soul. I do feel that all that I do is from within. But let's talk about you. First of all, I want to mention your website here. First of all, so I don't forget, it's centeroflightradio.com. And, well, actually, that's not really it, is it, Keith? You've got another, it's keithanthonyblanchard.com.
It's the same website, same website.
Okay.
It just goes to
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, Keith. It's got all my colors. If you went to Stars, you'd see the blue and the purples. And it's just gorgeous. It's just really, really gorgeous. And he's got his own radio show twice a week, and we'll talk about that. But, okay, now, how did you begin with all of this? When you were really young, in your early teens, you started questioning things about God and the universe. And, you know, it's funny. I read this with your sheet here that most of us start young like that are doing what we're doing. You probably find that also. You start questioning things and wondering, well, why is this? I did that as a little Catholic girl going to Catholic. I didn't go to Catholic school, but I went to catechism. And you have a Catholic background, so you know.
Yes, I went to catechism.
You and I are right on the same line. Right? I went to catechism, and I all of a sudden started questioning, well, why do I have to go to church all the time to talk to God? I can remember sitting in the church thinking that, and I thought, oh, God, I'm gonna get, I don't know what, 30 slashes from my mother. If I ever told her that, she would die. But I questioned it. Now, okay, so you started questioning things about God and the universe when you were young, Okay, and then what happened? What happened to you? You had a life-changing crisis, I know, but let's get into the younger part of Keith. Not that you're old, but you know the younger part.
When I was 9 years old, I wanted to be an altar boy, and that's when I started those questions. And little did I realize my life would be the unfoldment as the answers to those questions. And at the age of about 12, my father puts a guitar in my hands and he's learning himself playing Cajun, country, folky kinds of songs. And I was just excited about that. And he got me at my own guitar and I started playing. But my father was part of a Catholic movement. Because you're a Catholic, maybe you're familiar with this movement called Crucio?
No, thank goodness.
It's basically...
Not that being a Catholic was bad, but to me it was like being brainwashed. I mean, I know so much more now, I learned so much more now, but no, I never heard of that, I don't think. Maybe I did, and I just didn't pay any attention. So what is that?
It happens for men and women, and separately. And it's a one-time event, and you just go there for 3 days, 3.5, 4 days of your life, and really just let go of the world kind of thing. And so I was a part of that, and at the age of about 15, I was truly thinking of becoming a Catholic priest. I wanted it. I had something happen to me in a church surrounding the bones of saints that they could actually gather in these little chips. And that's something, I don't know what about that. It just sent me to the stars. And as we progress further in my life, I dated a girl for 10 years. After I started playing guitar and God went in the closet, no more Catholic priests for Keith. I started playing guitar and there were girls and I did all that thing. And I dated this girl for 10 years. I eventually moved to Memphis, Tennessee, and when all that began to happen, I began to shift. And my moving to Memphis, Tennessee from South Louisiana was, I would say, my initiation into a new idea or possibility of myself. So I've been in Memphis 32 years, and I just found something. And here in Memphis, I found myself. And what does myself look like? I still don't know. So I just find myself wanting, and I don't mean wanting out of a lacking, but a wanting, a genuine, authentic, essential wanting of something that truly means everything.
I think that's part of the questioning process. I think once you start to question things or seek, and everything is divine timing. You know that, Keith. Everything happens in your life because it's supposed to happen that way. You're supposed to, the way my life started, and then look what I'm doing now. Oh, my God, all these sites that I own and all of that and what I've learned. I had no clue when I was like 12 years old. No clue at all. But if you look at your life, you can see how the steps that you took, it took you to another place and another place. And I try to tell people that it's okay to lay out your life. You can try. But if the universe, God, whatever you believe in, is like, no, not yet, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I had this fire burning inside of me, when I was asking those questions and wanting something more. I didn't mean I was wanting something, as if I was lacking something. I was wanting something more, meaning I'm willing to apply myself, integrate myself, expand myself, graduate into this different possibility, all these fractals. And I realized that being a musician, because after the girl left and I got my composure, I became a full-time working musician playing with world-class players, and I'm grateful for that. It's not about just simply name-dropping, but I'm saying that as a recognition and an acknowledgement that I'm just a guy next door, and I've achieved some monumental things. I've made 3 albums, some with the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, some with world-class players, as I said, in rock, written many books and made quite a few films. And so this is not about just me just, blowing off the cuff who I am so everybody can gravitate towards what I'm doing. That's not what it is at all. I'm saying this because this is honest. It is what I am at my core. And my heart for the rest of my life, I am obligated to share these very simple models, these very simple recipes, if you're cooking your spiritual manna, right? Because I don't require my sustenance from people. Though my sustenance may come through people, my sustenance comes through my outpouring of who I am as a spiritual teacher and truly engaged in the human dynamic and want to fully give back. And in that fully giving back, I don't expect anything, and I get everything. It's just really easy. It's never been hard for any of us.
Well, no, and I fit into that. Mine started later than yours did. Coming from Michigan, I was part of a large group of psychics, mediums, psychics, tarot card readers, all kinds of gifted people. Now, listen to the story, Keith. Now, you know, I was the keeper of the money. I had cards. My parents died less than 5 months apart, and I had a deck of playing cards, just the plain ones, you know. So I kept wondering, well, I wonder if I can learn how to do these. I really wanted some answers. I got into astrology in the very, very beginning, had a great teacher, had several great teachers, actually, and I learned that, but then my girlfriend said, oh, come on, you can do something else. You can do it. Well, I picked up the cards, and I started asking the cards, but I had to figure out, you know, say like what the Three of Hearts meant. Well, you can go looking on the internet and they can tell you all kinds of interpretations of it. And I used a little bit of numerology in the houses from the astrology and the hearts, the diamonds, the spades, and the clubs. So I kind of created my own layout and my own, you know, I knew what each card meant to me. Now, you know, somebody else might say, oh, no, that's wrong. But whatever you wanted, like a Three of Hearts to me is a love communication, a love contact, a phone call. It's not an email because that's an Ace of Clubs, but it can be something very dear to your heart, and you're going to hear about it because it's a heart, and a three responds to the third house of communication in astrology. So you see how I did that. But I didn't dabble in that a lot, not for a long, long time. You got into it quick. And isn't it strange how people get their feet wet? I guess I wasn't supposed to. I don't know. But, like, for you, look what you did. You were like...
Still doing. But like you said, it's all divine timing. It's all divine timing. There's a time,
yes,
for a season for everything. What is that song... A time to live, a time to die, a time,
yeah,
to live. What a great song.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so, but everybody that I've talked to and all the interviews I've done, most of us started seeking. That was the first thing that we did, all of us. You wanted answers. And in my own way, I guess I wanted answers, too. I mean, I never really got the answers. Your life just evolves. And I don't even try to convince them of anything because you really can't. They either believe or they don't. And
yeah.
What's beautiful about what we do is we attract what we are. We attract those who are spiritual, gifted, talented in some arena, like art, music, whatever it is. I had a opera singer on my show once, and we've become great friends. She's in New York. So she calls me last year on my birthday, and she sang a song to me, and it was an operetta because she's from France. But you meet all kinds of people, and they're all, it's like the divine said, okay, let's put them all together here in their own place. All of them, they're in their own world. But they've got to meet each other. They've got to connect with each other. And each one of them is going to move a little further and a little further. That's how it's happened for me. I mean, I haven't stopped. Actually, I've done more the past, I want to say, 3 years than I've ever done in my whole life. So, you know... But you had a thirst for this. You wanted to continue, right? You wanted to learn more, be more, do more. But the purpose, and I want people to understand this, you are very similar to me. Well, I can't say you're exactly like me, but in the sense that you love doing for others. You love giving to others. It gives you this, I like to think it's like, I always say this, it's like a tablet with pluses and minuses. You and I, Keith, have a lot of pluses on that paper. Lots of them. Because I can tell with your voice, I mean, you have an ego, but you don't have an ego that's like out of sight. You know what some people talk? It's all about them. It's just all about them. So, okay, so you started playing, you started dabbling into music, but what really grabbed you? I mean, was there something that really set you on this path?
Pain is an excellent catalyst. When you're not getting the universal, when you're not getting the universal riddle, it's like someone telling you a joke. If you don't get it, they have to repeat it in a different way, hoping you go, "Oh, I understand the punchline now." Well, life is no different. We keep repeating the same lesson, joke, riddle, experience until we get the aha of it. That's called self-realization. So my life about becoming aware in what I do and why I do it. I love seeing people empowered. When you love something so much, you can like something. You can say you love it. Anyone might probably use the words, "Well, I love this thing." Well, do you really now? How often do you do this thing that you're claiming you love? And that separates the wheat from the chaff. So what begins to happen when you become the embodiment of love itself via what you call, "I'm doing this thing because I love it," it's irrelevant, because what I love may not be what you love. What may not be with whoever else around us all loves. But we all have our own path. We all are a fingerprint. We all are a snowflake. And so when we realize the preciousness of this individuality, we move up higher levels of reality. So what begins to happen, like you and I spoke of in the radio green room, if you will, is that when you start to do what you love, you don't find time to do those things you love. Time, or rather no time, begins to find you. 24 hours in a day just completely, simply disappears. And so this, as a lesson or a spiritual morsel to bring forth, is ask yourself, are you living 9 to 5? Without judgment, there's no right, wrong, in, out, up, down, all about of it about 9 to 5. But in that 9 to 5, do you feel dead or alive? It's being held back, or are you ready to strive? So it really comes down to about being in a space of governing, if that's a word, your life in such a way that you have brought it about to where you simply just live in bliss. I don't have anything I have to do except be present with myself and make those websites, as you mentioned, Natalie, and those songs and those movies and all those books and so forth. And we all have our perks. We all have our blessings and gifts that we do that in certain ways. Mm-hmm. But the question and the point of it all really comes down to this. To what level and depth are you taking your God-given faculties and expressing it in such a way that there's an amazing explosion of light in the form of attracting the right people, abundance, spiritual abundance, emotional abundance, mental abundance, health abundance, and so forth and so on. So that's really what I do and why I do it. And there was nothing I would rather do otherwise.
Well, you know, I had 2 and 3 jobs at one time, but I was raising my son, and it was a different life. And then when I was thrown in, not thrown into this, well, a lot of this fell in my lap. I always tell people that I didn't seek it out. The only thing I sought was astrology. But anything else, like my first website, I actually started it with somebody else, but then she dropped off after a year because, well, to tell you the truth, she couldn't keep up with me. You know, she had 2 small kids and she kept complaining. And so we just parted ways. She kept her software. We're done on paper, done. So then I got nervous, though, because I thought, oh, my gosh, I got to do this myself. I've never done this before. But it was really strange. I didn't have my magazine yet until the following year. But I found within the core of the group that I had that worked for me, somebody who could do websites. And then it just evolved, all of it. He left right after a few years. Now, the one that I have now, we've been friends for like 10 years, and he's been working for me that long, but it's really strange. And I never, if I had to write it all down, somebody said, well, what happened first? And then what happened second? I mean, sometimes it just happened really fast, like you said. You know, I started an Instagram page for Mystic Living Today. I'd never had one before. I don't know why. I had this idea this last week, and I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And because I want to expand on my magazine, I'm going to tell you, Keith, and you know the feeling, when I am doing all of these things for all these authors and the publicists and the publishing houses, and they tell me that it's on their site, they published it, I mean, I am right up to the sky. I am in my element. And what do I get from it? Well, I get gratification. I get nice emails to say, oh, my gosh, this is beautiful. But I delight so – I mean, if I could do this 7 days a week, I probably would be really, really happy. but
you're getting
strange,
good at it. You're getting good at it, obviously.
Well, I've had that since 1999, but it has advanced so much now. You know, it's funny, but I used to solicit material. I would ask people to send me stuff. Now I don't have to, I mean, now I just send them a reminder, it's time. And then my mailbox gets full. And then I get new stuff, and I meet new people. I mean, I can't tell you how exhilarating it is to, like you, meeting you. I was so excited I'm excited to meet everybody, but I was excited to meet you because I felt this affinity with you. I felt, after I looked at your website, I knew, you know, I saw the colors, too. The colors are beautiful. And I thought, okay, and you're so accomplished. You've done so much. You know, I've just done sites. I have a book in my head that I can't seem to put on paper. it's a fairy tale. I have people that want to publish it. I just got to, because I know publishers, you know, and I know the houses. And I know, over all these years, you learn. And that's another thing it just told me, Keith, is that I have had these connections all this time. But I guess now is the time that I need to utilize them. I didn't before. I didn't think about it before. You know, I have access to all these beautiful people all over the world. And I just, like you, I'm sure you have contacts everywhere. You do your radio show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I do want to say that. And if they go to your website, centeroflightradio.com, you can see all the links at the top, and your radio connection is the second one over. It's got a link there, upcoming guests and all of that, products, everything there. I mean, it's just really easy to maneuver around. Whoever did it did a great job, because it's when you do sites, you look for all these kinds of things. And you probably do this too. You go someplace, like if you want to make a payment online, I'll sit there and I'll think, how archaic is this? Who developed this? Bank of America? Oh, come on. Who did you develop it for? The higher IQ in the world? I mean, the simplest thing, and they make it, well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I had a to-do today, but I'm always very nice about it, and I just thought, I could have done this better. That's the truth. But I'm too old to get into all that now. And I really love what I'm doing. I know you love what you're doing. So tell me more about what's going on in your life. Tell me about these books. Now, which book, I mean, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, and then a children's book series. You have that. Which is your latest book?
My latest book is called Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul. It is a compilation of The Divine Principle that went bestseller, as well as For the Love of God, about my journey to India to see a holy man that came to me in a dream, inviting me there, and 2 weeks later,
oh.
I get a ticket out of him.
You have to tell us about that journey.
I get a ticket out of nowhere. Someone I never met. And so I went to India.
You're kidding.
So home, no, I'm not. So Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul, is a compilation of these two books. This is the first volume, hopefully the next one, but it did go bestseller about 3 weeks ago. You can find that on Amazon.com now. Just go to Amazon and look up Keith Anthony Blanchard, Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul. But I'm also in the process of working on the audiobook version. I just sit in this one chair, this $99 chair, office chair, all day long.
Mine's a freebie.
Yeah, right?
There
my last
go.
One was $5 from a garage sale kind of thing, but I love those.
Yeah. So you're going to do audiobook. Now, tell us a little bit about your radio show. What I'm sure you do, like I do interviews and you do talks and all that, because you're on twice a week. And it's 7 p.m. Central Time. What kind of guests do you have? What do you do on your radio show? Tell me a little bit about that.
I have guests from doctors, scientists, normal people. I don't mean it in any other way, but to use words to describe doctors, scientists, normal people have 9 to 5s, just beautiful people as well. To God-realized men from India, one I happen to be a disciple of, which is Sri 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 Bhagavan Viswamji Vispayogi Viswamji Maharaj, 9th incarnation on the earth. He was the first God-realized soul to step feet on the rock. This is his 9th incarnation, and he's here to bring about a unified, peaceful humanity, and it's going to happen. I see him probably at most twice a year, at least once a year. He's done phenomenal things to me, through me, with me, in front of me. Center of Light Radio is about empowering people, giving them the tools so that they never need to ask anyone anything ever again.
Right.
My vision, not that I'm trying to acquire this vision, but the vibrational tone that I set for my work is, be it me, be it John Doe, Jill Doe, Jane Doe, doesn't matter, but this is my life. So be it me, I want to be the teacher that is able to be so clear that the only time you need to see me, be it in public form or one-on-one, is only once. Not because it's an ego stroke, it's because I've realized that my abundance does not come from the person I am engaging with or being a springboard for, because I want to see you as a friend and as a human lover, lover meaning people that just gets in this beautiful space and sharing reality.
Uh-huh.
But I want to become such a teacher, a giver, a divine lover, that I can just offer a something and give it to someone so fully that they never need anything else again, except to go to some place or another teacher just for entertainment. The point is, even though it sounds like I want that for other people, that's really not the truth. The truth is that I want to embody those principles myself so that I can feel the joy, the bliss, the glee that comes from being such a being, and I have no choice but to lose it out, because if I don't, I'll explode. This is what's happening with me. This is why I do Center of Light Radio. This is why I do the work that I do, because I simply love people. I love kissing people on their cheek and hugging them around their neck, and I really don't care about COVID-19, because the love that I have for people and they have for me, as we come together as a we, the immunity in that coalescing love between the people that I and the person I want to be around, so supersedes and so surpasses anything that could ever be harmful. We're protected by the love. You know, what I always say is, when we understand who and what walks beside us at every moment of our life, we will never be afraid nor sick ever again.
Yeah, I have a sense of that too. But I just, you know, you do so many things. I mean, I do a lot, but nothing like what you do. I mean, I sometimes just have to take time for myself and do nothing. I mean, like, magazine time is really a lot for me. I mean, but like I said, now that project that I do every month, I really love doing that. I mean, I gather information and images and links and all that, and I somebody asked me, probably was one of my dearest friends, why in the world do you do this? I mean, and like I said before, I get something from it. I don't think you have to know what you get from it. Just know that you get something from it. And I think that's what it is with me. It makes me, I'm helping all of these people all over the world, and I like that feeling. I like helping you. I like doing that. And, you know, there's a lot of us, Keith, that do this in different forms. Radio shows, TV.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Writing books.
People in front of us at the grocery store, people behind us and the gas pump. They're everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. And that's a beautiful thing. But I think once you start to recognize that there are others out there, you recognize even more. Of course, now I don't get out that much now because my son really doesn't like me to go anywhere. I go to the grocery store. I go, tomorrow I have to have a crown put on a tooth. I lost a crown on it. But it was about 35 years old, so I can't complain. So I'll go there. And then I get my hair cut. And that's it. I don't go anyplace else. Now I have two friends. What I miss, I'll tell you what I really miss, is going to our favorite restaurants and just sitting there and laughing, the three of us. We don't do that. I'm older than the two of them, and I've been so healthy all my life, Keith, that I am not going to risk anything. I have too much I want to do. So sometimes they'll bring lunch to me. We'll all sit at the table and have lunch, a glass of wine and lunch. It's really, and we have a lot of fun. It's fun. But I, you know, when you're at home and you do all your work at home, it's not that tough on you to stay home. And, you know, I know people out there are just probably going nuts because they want to get out, they want to go shopping and all of that. Well, those things have never been that important to me. And what I'm doing now is important to me. So I'm very thrilled that, and you too, you are doing what's important to you. And look at all the people that we are communicating with and helping them along the way and showing them the way. You know, I noticed on your site you probably have had a lot of the people that I've had on my show. I see one here that you had was Steve Burgess. I had him on my show too. But isn't that wonderful? They get exposure from different places. I just love that. It is a beautiful world. And to those that are listening, we're going to come out of this. You're going to see. It's going to all be okay. And I like to remind people, and I know you believe that you're protected and all of that, but there are things going on where young people are not paying attention, and they really need to. I mean, I only have these two older friends that come around me, and that's it, and my granddaughter. And she's doing virtual school. So, I don't know, I just want everybody to be safe. I put that in all my emails, and be safe. Just be safe and think smart. So what do you have coming up for yourself? I mean, you've got more stuff, I guess. You said you have an audio book coming, right?
Yes. I've been working on it very diligently. And the next major event, other than my interviews with other people, as well as presentations to people who happen to be in the space of the Facebook or Spacebook. Facebook or
it is
form,
Facebook sometimes,
which
isn't
is,
it?
Yeah, right. Which is going to be October 31st and November 1st. I'm going to be in Melbourne, Florida, doing a spiritual fair there, but I'm going to be the keynote speaker. In fact, I'm not sure if there's going to be any other speakers, but I'm going to be a keynote speaker there and going to do amazing delivery titled for this presentation workshop called Crossing the Bridge to the Soul. So what is Crossing the Bridge to the Soul? Big, delicious, very simple question. So what is Crossing the Bridge to the Soul? It's COVID-19, the world that's already dead, and finding yourself in 2020 as an erect individual to realize that what first seemed like a curse became a very phenomenal, unannounced blessing. That's a metaphor for your life, because right now there is no messing about. The gate is open very wide. And guess what? No matter what you want, conscious or not, God's going to grant you your wish. It's always been that way. But now there is no more, quote, time, because no time is making itself present. So homecoming is using this opportunity sort of like a computer desktop shortcut icon that launches you from here to there. There are no shortcuts in spirituality, mind you, but if there ever was grace to have an opportunity to shortcut, right now is the time. And so conscious or unconscious, people are going to get what they want. So if they get into the fight of the politics and the this and the that, but I understand they're trying to be noble people and they want to stand up for something powerful and right and good. But a fight is a fight. Even someone who is on the good side of a fight is going to get a black eye and a broken nose. So we have to learn to get out of a fight, not only of what we call this dead world, but the fight of reality, fighting with loved ones, terrorism, racism. It's all a fight. I understand you want to stand up for something good, but you have to stand under something that is the best, which is stop fighting. Well, that sounds like I'm unplugging from the world and I have no compassion because I don't want to be a part of the solution. Trust me, when you step back and become the observer, you are part of the solution. By you being present with what you know as to why you know when to step out of fight, out of the fight, but also when to engage to have the greatest influence. This is what homecoming, crossing the bridge to the soul is about. Not only about other people, because first and foremost, it's about being selfish. I did say that correctly. It's about being selfish, because nothing you do ever in the history of forever has never been not selfish. In your selflessness is a selfishness, which means the reason I engage in my life in being selfless because I have a selfish agenda, which is being selfless makes me feel cool. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel on point. It makes me feel purposeful. So when we get out of all the riffraff and the noise of the world, we begin to go home. We begin to cross the bridge of the soul, which is I can never understand the majesty of God until I can grasp some inkling, not some inkling, the totality of the puniness of myself. If we can't understand the small, puny self, which we think we are, even in our arrogance, even in our opinions of what we think that is, the level of Godhood so surpasses all that. Everything you think, your religion, and I don't mean your faith by walk, I mean your faith by talk, your family, your lifestyle, your job. When you walk into the presence of the absolute, it all simply gets shattered. There's nothing left. There's truly nothing left. And when a person is willing to fall into that fire, that divine fire, it's a scary place to be, can be. Or in your scaredness, you can tell yourself when you're watching The Exorcist at the movie, I'm scared right now, but this is just a movie. And that level of awareness shift will bring you back into being on point. So homecoming, crossing the bridge to the soul, is simply recognizing that the universe was created solely, S-O-L-E-Y, solely, S-O-U-L-Y, for me in this moment. Is it possible that I will pick up the gate of my feet and my beat, crossing the bridge into the garden of forever, is when I realize that I am so monumentally precious. There is nothing above and below me. In fact, it's truly all about me. But not from this egoistic point of view. It's about simply recognizing the beauty, the fingerprint, the snowflake of who we are at our essence. That is truly crossing the bridge to the soul.
Well, it's a beautiful description, I must say. It's breathtaking, actually, because I got really quiet, because it makes a lot of sense. And I think people just start to understand a little better, their life would be so much easier. Now, sometimes, myself, everybody, you kind of get caught up in something. But I have learned to do is I step back and say, okay, that's enough of that. Nope, I'm not going to buy into all that. I'm just not going to. I'm intelligent. I know what's right and what's wrong. And then I'll do something else. I'll do my creativity. I'll go over the site. I'll look for places to place ads. I'll do stuff like that just because I'm all about all these businesses here. You know, I mean, that's my thing. And if I could just focus a little better, I could probably start to write my fairy tale. But I say this all the time that it is in my head, and it's beautiful, but you know, sometimes things are to be written and read by other people, and sometimes they're not. Maybe that's what this is. Maybe it's not for everybody else to read. That's a possibility. I don't know. But I guess that's one thing I would like to accomplish. But I don't know. How did you write your first book? What inspired you? What made you sit down? I mean, tell me about that. What did you do? I want to talk about your movie, too, but
I failed English 2-4 times, and I failed typing twice. So I had no background in grammar because at that age I wanted to play music and I just didn't care. And so, in hindsight, when I had the epiphany that happened in 1996 in June, being thrown into the light and having this divine experience with the Absolute, I began to sit on the tape recorder, instructed by a voice, the voice, God's voice. How do I know it's God? And how can you not know? If you don't know it's God, it's not hard. It's never been hard. It's not rocket science. So when I say God, it doesn't mean, oh, my God, you know, Keith is so fortunate he talked to, you know, the burning bush. That's not what I'm implying at all. In my weakness, in my dark nights of the soul, I begin to get on my knees and supplement. I don't know what's going on. And I don't profess to. And I'm asking with all fervor and sincerity and passion and humility and vulnerability. And those four components, passion, sincerity, humility, and vulnerability, will open up anything. It will make mountains move. And somehow, in this early pre-development, in fact, I had all the right ingredients that brought this into my life. And so when this experience began to go down, the voice said, sit in the sofa, press record on your tape player, and let your mouth move. And I said, well, will I talk on down? And said, it will be there. I felt no fear at all. I had been meditating for quite a few months before that. And so even whether it was true or not, it didn't matter. I just felt like following this whim. And when I sat on that sofa and pressed record, volumes of the most, not far out, but far in information began to surface through these sessions. And so over the course of the years of meditating and writing every day for 6 to 9 hours, meditating every day for 6 to 9 hours, playing the part of humanity of, you know, I'm asking the questions. My brothers and sisters want to know why little children get sick and die. And I had such muster and fire in that question. There was no way God would not respond. And so I began to log all these sessions. And I had glimpses that it was going to go bestseller. But that's all irrelevant. Bestseller to me only means that I'm using this as a key to reach more people. And so from that point in 1996, what began to occur was the more I began to see preciousness of soul happen, the more my belief level would increase. And the more my belief level would increase, the more precious manifestations of the spirit I would see and give me relief. And so this dynamic of back and forth tennis match, if not match as if it's a competition, but this dance of two people who are in love, God and myself, or yourself and God, or whatever it is you do.
Simply
began to unfold in such a passionate way that I am now at the place that I am truly crossing the bridge to the soul. And I say that because I am the guy next door. I play music for a living. When I'm done with my set, when I go and break, if I've never met you before, I will come sit at your table, introduce myself, and stick my fingers in your French fry basket and start eating. This is just me. So my point is, we're all this. We're all this simple way, complex ways of being, that understand that spirituality has truly never been hard. It's not about prayer and sweating blood as you pray with thorns around your head. These are beautiful gestures of humility. But every time we are hard about anything, we overshoot the very omnipresent simpleness, which is your divine parent. So I have learned, because it became apparent to me, that sometimes we want something so much that we become hard. And so crossing the bridge to the soul is really about just taking a breath and looking at the simplicity of which is, always has been, and forever will be. That's the conscious life stream. It's your breath. It's your daily breath. Even the breath that we take, that we don't even think that while we're breathing.
Right. No, it's making sense to me. A lot of sense. And most people don't understand. I mean, I know there's a big, huge core of us. I know that. But there's just so many who don't. And you know what? You can't make them. You could show them, but it still wouldn't be enough. You're either there or you're not. And I don't know. I've heard a lot of people have backgrounds like you and I, Catholicism, I should say, it is, and that stringent, you know, you must do this, and you must take all the sacraments, and you must, you know, all of that. And I have thought to myself, and I don't know if you have, what did it do for us as we got older? Did it really open doors for us? Did it really teach us something? I mean, I didn't read the Bible. I didn't even, you know, I knew it existed, but I didn't read it. We didn't have to. All we had to do is learn our prayers with the nuns. Then we had nuns. Not lay teachers, there were nuns with the habits, the whole thing. But, you know, I don't know if you thought this, but I thought the nuns were specially picked by God. I didn't look at them as women. They were just special. I mean, many of them were not that nice either. They had this attitude about them, and that when I would see that, I would think, why in the world would God pick you? I thought that. I was probably 9 years old, you know? And so, you think those thoughts. And now what do you think happened when we were taking all these classes, all this catechism? What did it do? It must have done something for us, Keith. It must have shown us, must have opened the door for us. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I'm sure we benefited from it. I'm sure, somehow.
I know it was a landmark in my life, a stepping stone, however long it lasted, be it a day, a week, a month, a year, 5 years,
mm-hmm.
from the altar boy at 9 years old to wanting to become a Catholic priest at 15 to meeting the girl.
Oh,
at 18.
Yeah, my goodness.
So it served me from the ages of 9 to 15 as an experience in my life that meant something to me that at least once in my life, even early on in my life, that put me on this path of wanting to be a priest. And all of a sudden that goes to the closet. But later it came back out in a very powerful, effulgent way to say that this is, you were implanted, impregnated with a seed when you were 9. You took it to 15, and then you wanted to be human for a while. And so we understood that. But when things went awry, we said we would show back up, and here we are, and get in there and do what you need to do. And so I just lovingly went into it and realized, you know, at first it's work, because spiritual work can be dark. So that's more important than light.
And because it can
you
be
don't
very
need,
lonely, too.
You don't need the light. You already have the light, so why would you need it? There's no need for the light in your life that you have. What you need is to illumine the dark spaces, places within yourself, and that happens through awareness, knowledge, wisdom, inspiration that takes us beyond these things that we think we know that are important. So the greatest path back to God is not through the light, because the light that you have in your life is evidence of the presence of God, which is joy. So there's no need for any further illumination in these aspects.
Right.
The illumination needs to happen when we fall into fear, jealousy, insecurity, darkness, anxiety, depression, all these aspects of being disconnected from source. So that's where the real work lies. That's where the work truly lied for the Christ. Well, people will keep, don't go in that arena. That sounds blasphemous. Well, didn't Jesus supposedly descend into hell for 3 days before he was arisen. So we all have to go through these periods of hell to realize that we have forever been under a spell. And when we realize that and graduate, then we can tell something different. And then we empower others around us simply by being a presence of joy in their life.
My gal Candy's in the chat room. She has a question for you. She says, Keith, do you feel like your exposure to so many different walks of people and worldly situations had awakened you more to enable you to find this path for yourself? So do you think all those experiences did they help you?
I could say no, but I would rather say yes. There's no way it cannot have, because like I said just a minute ago, when you put so poetically, the earliness of my and your life and others like us lives, when I had from 9 years old to 15, this simple fire inside of me to want to be a priest. And then, of course, I met the girl and had a rock guitar, and I had an amplifier that had some distortion, and I want to be. And so it served me as a stepping stone to bring me to this place of remembering what I could have had if I. But I enjoy being that human self, and I still do, and I'm really good at being human, trust me. But yes, my answer, I would rather answer the question as a yes, because all those experiences have opened up inside of me that very same possibility when I was 9 to 15 as to why I wanted to traverse that golden road to the golden door, to the golden shore. It was truly instrumental. And I, in fact, probably every time I do a center, even having a time with you and your guest that asked this very question, I don't see you or the guest as any different from those people that we're talking about that paved that path. I'm sitting here with this technological equipment as a microphone and this big TV and doing what I do, as I said, sitting in this $99 chair. So I describe all these things just to say how unimportant they actually are. So it comes back to me sitting in this chair by using all those, quote, bad and good experiences that have shaped me in such a way that I realize that there is a place, a space that lives in all of us that requires nothing. What I mean by nothing is if you're trying to think of what nothing is, you're trying to think of something, and you won't actually achieve it.
Yeah.
So how do you achieve nothing by not contemplating on nothing? Well, you can't. You're going to do it at first. So I'm sitting in meditation, and I want to achieve this something Keith is calling nothing. Okay, I get that. Nothing is actually a something because that is the initiation of every spiritual aspirant. I want to achieve this something people have been calling nothing. Okay, that is step number one. Step number two is starting to lose footing in what we think is the truth, that I'm going to find a something as I find the nothing. You're not going to receive anything. Nothing is going to be handed to you. No one's going to put a bite in your mouth for you to taste. None of that is going to happen. What begins to happen when a person realizes that is everything? Because the flower inside of your chest begins to open. A door inside of the rest of you begins to open. Spirit is always hoping that you fall further into this nothing. In this nothing is the garden. This is the sacred heart. Seek ye the kingdom of God within. So, to answer the question long and about is, thank you for the beautiful, dynamic guest caller or a guest person. Thank you so much. There is no way that anything in any of our lives, pro or con, that is duality, but there's another place. It's all a stepping stone that's brought us to this place of where we are. Now, where we are will determine where we go. Where we go is determined by our level of awareness. So here is the dynamic. I'm going to give everyone something so powerful. Wow. People have paid thousands of dollars for this. And I'm going to give it to you in a simple image. Everyone is trying to get somewhere. Humanity moves around too much. I get it. We're excited. Excited is good. The puppy dog in the window wants to get bought, so his tail's wagging. We want to get somewhere. That's beautiful. That's called intention. That is the first level, what I mentioned just a minute ago. The second level is when you begin to realize where you are trying to get to is where you are right now. So you mean I have nothing to do? That is fantastic. That is the shortcut. But your intention to go 1,000 years to get to where you are now must start, and it requires the first step towards that 1,000 years. That first step towards that 1,000 years is 500 years off of your journey immediately, because if you don't take that first step, absolutely nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens. So the journey crossing the bridge to the soul is really about recognizing I have to step. And as you begin to step, you realize in the efforting of the stepping that I begin to stop stepping and realize that where I'm trying to get to, even
you're
if it takes
there.
1,000 years, is simply right now. There is no work to do. There is nothing else. Nothing else will take you to the level of the highest any faster. Nothing.
I think, too, sometimes people think too much. They overthink everything. You know, and I'm working with somebody that was on my show, and for a period of time now, it's silence. It's supposed to be silence on my end, meaning I don't question, I don't worry. I just continue doing the work that I'm doing, because after this, it's going to go full force for me. So I have been noticing different things for myself. It's true. It really is happening. And, I mean, it's not hypnotizing me. It's nothing like that. It's just talking to me, and he's very well respected. And, just because he wants to help me, I'm not even having to pay him. But what it did for me is to make me realize certain things, because he said, what it is you want? And he asked me, so what do you want? What would you like to see happen? Well, one of the first things is, you know, success for my son, health, all that for my granddaughter, my son, my daughter-in-law, my two best friends, my goddaughter. But then the people that work for me, I want them to be able to make a living at what they're doing and feel comfortable and work from home. And I want all of my sites to be successful. I want a lot of people want to be in my magazine. I want to change. I mean, there's a lot of things. He said, okay, you said it all. Now just let it happen. Don't try to make it. Don't try to go after it. Leave it alone. And in a sense, you know, and your thoughts are so important. Don't you think so, Keith, that you have to? But some people, it's really hard to do that, especially right now. A lot of people, not you and I, we seem to rise above it. But there are people out there, and I am an empath, and there's certain things on TV I can't even watch because it upsets me, and I cry. I don't like the thoughts of people not having food for their children, to pay their bill. I don't like any of that. You know, and I've said this many times, if I could wave a magic wand and fix it all, I would. And sometimes I'll talk to God and I'll say, okay, where's my magic wand? You give me the tools, I'll do it. I will do it. But you can't do that. It doesn't happen that way. Everybody is on their own path and does their own thing. But it really bothers me, more so now, because it's like I have to stop myself. I can't step into their lives like that. I can't. Because it's going to cause me not to be able to do what I'm doing to help everybody else. So you have to really maintain something, don't you think? For people like you, me, other people, lady that's listening tonight, she's the same way. I think you have to stay on your path. Yeah, you can go off a little bit. You're going to stumble. I say stumble and fumble. You're going to go into the ditch a little bit, but you better get back up on that road again. You got to get back up there and keep doing. And the thing that makes me the happiest is doing for others. That's it. I know what it is. It's easy. But when it comes to me, I want to do more. I want to take care of them all. But, you know, Keith, we cannot do that. You can't do it. I can't do it. They have to help themselves. But I am thinking less than I did before. Several weeks ago, I was overthinking and bothered by everything and worrying about, you know, and then I realized, you can't do that. You're preventing it from coming. You're holding it up. It's like you've got this wall there, and it's going to take too much to crawl over it. So take the wall down, just relax, do the beautiful things that you're doing. I'm talking about myself. God knows what you want. God knows. But the thing of it is in his time, Keith, it's when he deems it so. And it might not be good for you at the moment in time, like for you. Maybe you're supposed to do something and you really want to do that. And you say, well, why am I not getting that? Well, maybe it's not time. Doesn't mean that you won't. It's just not the right time for all people considered. I like to think that, you know, God doesn't throw you to the wolves. I like to think that he knows who we are. But bottom line, Keith, don't you think you just have to be a good person? You cannot, like you said, you can't fight. You can't, the things that are going on, I mean, oh, people, stop. Because the universe is going to make you stop. You're going to stop, all right. I think this virus, and I've said it before, is a comeuppance. God says, so, okay, everything is about money. Well, I'm going to make it so it's not about money because you're not going to make money. I'm going to show you it's about the love of others. It's about being kind and good to everybody else. That's what I think it's all about. And everybody's got their own theory. Could come from China, wherever it came from, doesn't matter. It was a series of steps, and it's here, and we have to do the right thing, or it's never going to go away. That's what I think. That's my little dissertation. What do you think, Keith?
Love it. I love it. You know, well, you're in it to win it. You're in it for all that's good.
Right. People, you have to start doing for others, helping them. If they need something, help them. I mean, I do it all the time. I've done it all my life. You probably have too. You see somebody needs help in a grocery store. Help them get an item on the top shelf, even though you're probably shorter than they are. Help them. Do something. Just do something for humanity. I do it all the time. I really do. I don't stop. My son is the same way. And I wish all of us could be like that. I really... Can you imagine what the world would be like? There's just too much hate out there. I can't stand it. We gotta keep doing what we're doing, Keith, and be the best that we can be. And keep talking. You talk twice a week on your radio show. I do it once a week. I put all this stuff in my magazine, promoting beautiful people, beautiful stories. I just got one today from this gal who was abused in the military. And I said, I want you to write about it, and I want to put it in there. I want to do things like that. I want to show people. And I have the means to do that. See, I have the avenue. It's the magazine. And so, you know, I tell people, send me information. As long as it's good and healthy, you know, and it's going to help, and it's a good piece of information, we'll do it. I'll do it. I do it all myself anyways. So I'm the boss of that, which is great, right? So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And Keith, before we go, I want you to tell me something about your movies. How did you get into that? Producing, co-producing, directing, all
I
that.
I just woke up one morning 7 years ago, and I'm just coming to the room, and what am I going to do today? And you're going to make a movie. Make a movie. And so I took some script from some of my books and got on Google Images and YouTube and found videos that were and images that were royalty-free and began to fashion this story. This actually, it's a prophecy. called And the Meek Shall Inherit the Earth, The Prophecy Revealed. It's about 50 minutes long. It's about where we come from as a race, where we are now, and what is to come as far as the embodiment of heaven on earth, the Christ principle, be it Jesus comes back or the Christ comes back or whether it comes back in all of us. The point is that this unfoldment of a beautiful prophesized flower is happening, and it's free. If you can go, you can go to KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com or CenterOfLightRadio.com, and at the bottom of every page you'll see click here now to watch And the Meek Shall Inherit the Earth. People can also go to YouTube.com/CenterOfLightRadio, and you can subscribe there and be a part of these 4 times a week, 5 times a week, sometimes installments, twice a week, like you said, Natalie of Center of Light Radio, but also me looking at the camera and going into spiritual mode or vessel mode or channel mode. And I may go from anything to talking about meditation as a theme, or anxiety as a theme, or depression as a theme, or how to raise your vibration as a theme, or do what you love as a thing, whatever. It's all just open, and it's just me and the camera, and I become vulnerable and naked and passionate, and I fall inside of myself as a teacher, and truly let the spirit of God, if you will, simply cloak me and take over every fabric of my being. And I love being with people that way.
Well, you know, your site has so much on it. It has Do What You Love Forever. It's just got...
Yeah.
It's just got a lot of things, a lot of good stuff here that the movie is there, Do What You Love. I mean, like you said, it's all there at the top, the toolbars that are there. All the sites are like that. But your site, it just reeks, and that's not a bad term, of spirituality. And I, you know, I want to redesign my magazine. It's Mystic Living Today. And, I just want to do the banner a little different, and, because it's, you know, it needs to be freshened up and stuff like, I really want to do, Keith, is a magazine that you flip the pages, like a real magazine. So somebody would be on the cover. They would be my, you know, my main person. And then it would have all the subtitles, all the pages where everything was. Places for ads. I have places for ads, but not like I really want. So that's my next dream. That's my next dream. And so, you know, we have to keep going, Keith. We cannot stop at what we're doing. We can't. You just can't, and I just can't. So go to see his site. I mean, there's so much free on there. How can you miss? CenterOfLightRadio.com. And as he's, like he said, you can go to KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com, same thing, and you're going to see this beautiful site and this beautiful man who does all of this. And I don't think I'm ever going to be a filmmaker. Of course, I shouldn't say that, because sure as I'm talking, next week somebody's going to say, I want you to do a movie. I want you to do this. I don't like to be in front of the camera. I like to be talking on the radio like I'm doing, and behind the scenes. You like to do both, right?
I do. It's my life. My life, believe it or not, it's actually my voice. I sing for a living, and I talk for a living. And so, yeah, my voice is very important to me. So I would assume that, I would hope that my throat chakra is open.
Yeah. Well, I'm really good at storytelling, reading a book. My granddaughter loves for me to read books to her. And I said, why? She said, well, because you take on the characters. Sometimes I ad lib with the book, you know. I mean, I add a little something. And she said, and when you have a conversation, you change it. You lift it up. And if it's not a happy conversation, you bring it down. She says, a lot of people are just so monotone. But she says, when I hear you, she did take my story, believe it or not, to her when she was in ninth grade, to her English teacher, and she, because everybody had to write a story, and she says, well, this is really not my story, it's my grandma's story. And the teacher said, well, let me look at it. So she looked at it. She changed the ending just a little bit. She got my permission. And she said, I want you to read it in front of the class. And she did, and everybody loved it. So, you know, I know it would be good because I wrote it. I mean, I knew that. It's very uplifting, very spiritual. It's really good for younger people, not to be so staunch and strict. And you're going to love how I end my show, Keith. I do it every time. And
well, thank you for having me. I really had a good time.
Oh, your voice is so soothing, and you know the rapport is there, and yeah, you're a very wonderful spirit that has entered my life, and I hope we can do this again or talk again because you have a lot to offer. I offer things in a different way. You offer things in a different way. Your cover for your book, For the Love of God, with that rose, I love that. But then I love The Divine Principles. All of these book covers are amazing. They're really amazing. Go to his site. Please go to his site, centeroflightradio.com.
I appreciate it.
KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com. Go there. I mean, you'll get to the same place. But you will be quite impressed, and the colors will make you feel really good. See, I like colors. I like when I get a book. You know, author will want to send me a book. They'll say, well, I'll do a PDF. No, I don't want a PDF. I want to hold the book. I like to hold the book. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, right. Right.
I like to feel
totally
the cover.
Good. Yeah.
The cover is important to me. And that's going to make me, if I had to go in a bookstore, allow me to buy it and say, I like that cover. It's got to be good stuff in there. I like the cover. And that's it. I don't even open the book. I know. I mean, I have so many books here. But anyways, I'm so happy you decided to come on my show. I hope we can do this again. And you've been a delight. And I'm going to have something in my blog tomorrow about you. And then I'm going to promote this now on Candy, who does all of my marketing. She's in the chat room right now. She's the one that asked the question. Say hi, Candy.
Hi, Candy.
She does all of it.
Candy.
She puts it on Facebook. She puts it on Twitter. She's going to probably work most of MLT, Mystic Living Today. I do Stars Psychics and the magazine I do and all that. But she does all that, and I have another lady who is Stars JC. She does the content for me. She writes up the sheet. Like, you know, Gavin sent me information on you. I sent it to her. I don't really even look at them anymore because Candy is so efficient with my dashboard. She's got everything there, Keith. Everything I need to know about you, she puts there for me. I'm not going to miss a beat. And with bullets, and it's beautiful. Just beautiful what she does. And she's been doing this for a really long time for me. And also, this will be on my YouTube channel. And she'll convert it. Eventually, she's trying to convert everything into audio, take the exact interview and put it on YouTube. Instead of it coming from Blog Talk Radio, she's putting it into something else. So with that, you know, I'm going to say goodnight to you, Keith, and it's been a pleasure, really been a pleasure talking to you. I feel so calm. You know, it's funny, before I started the show, I had everybody writing to me, and I was like on this high, and I was going to say to you, you know, Keith, I'm really on a high right now. I don't even know why. But I got really nice and calm, and that's what I really like to do. I like to be in the moment, you know, and you were so calming, and so you gave us so much information. So you have an awesome evening. I know you're in the Central Time Zone, right? So you have a little bit more time than I do. And please stay in touch, and now I have your email address, so I will probably ask you for stuff for my magazine. The next issue, probably for the November issue, and we'll communicate back and forth. And the best of everything for you. You deserve it. You really do. And
thank you very much for
your
support.
We have to keep doing what we're doing, Keith. That's the bottom line. So with that, I'm going to end the show. And, of course, next week we have another one from 8 to 9. I'm not even going to tell you who it is. You have to go to starpsychics.com, and I always have this little note up at the top right. You'll see who it is, and you can tune in from there. And don't forget about the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com, the beautiful work from people. I have a man in China who writes poetry, right? Well, he has a translator. Well, it's really funny because the translator will do it in English, and then he sends me the Chinese. And I wrote him back, and I'm saying, but I can't read that, you know. So I said to him, how do you write my name in Chinese? So right away, he sent it back. It's the coolest thing. I have somebody in Japan who writes, who's another poet. I have somebody in India, another poet. I mean, I have people all over. So go to Mystic Living today. Don't forget to go see Keith at KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com or CenterOfLightRadio.com. And so how I end the show, Keith, is this. Believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Good night. Have a great week and be safe. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be without limits.